like you always do, Lord. You'll hold me and hide me like good shepherds do. This valley's no different than all those valleys that came and went. I know you'll be true, 'cause you promised you would. You'll carry me through. Lord, I know you'll be true, 'cause you promised you would. You'll carry me.
Turn that off in case it. All right, it's now 5 till 12, so we'll see. As Charlie said, this coming Friday, which is my birthday, and at about, 3, 4 in the morning, we'll be catching a ride to Dulles Airport to fly out to JFK in New York, and then from there to Edinburgh, Scotland, and then we're there in Scotland for 4 days, and then we fly to Dublin, Ireland, and then we're in Ireland for 4 days, and then we fly back. So it's kind of a crash course in Scotland and Ireland, just driving across country, driving a manual with the left hand, which is going to be fun, and all kinds of stuff. So appreciate your prayers for that, for safety, and going to miss you, but I'm sure I'll come back with a lot of stories and pictures and things to share. This morning I want to talk to you about something that when you first hear it, and when you hear the scripture that I'm going to read, and then when you hear the sermon itself, you might say, well, that has nothing to do with me. I come to church every Sunday. I'm a Christian. I do this. I do that. And you might say, well, that sermon's not for me. I'm just going to tune you out, and I'm just going to, think about something else. But this morning, the sermon that I have that was laid on my heart to give you this morning is something that even if you are the best Christian that you think you can be, it's a message that I think never gets old. Every day that we face, every morning that you get up, we have decisions that we have to make. First of all, I'm going to read the scripture, familiar scripture, Matthew chapter 7. If you can't hear me, let me know. I'm trying this one out. I don't usually use it when I'm here. I use it elsewhere. And if I do this, I'm not reaching for a gun. I'm just adjusting the microphone. So I had someone tell me that one time. They said, I thought you were going to pull a gun out when you went like this. So it's not. Don't get worried. Matthew chapter 7.
I'm not real strong on that 12:10. Don't pull
a gun. Yeah. Yeah, right. No, left that at home today. All right, Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Like I said, familiar scripture. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Another version says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, the road is easy, that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow, and the road is hard, that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Let's go to the Lord one more time in prayer. Almighty God, we thank you so much for this morning that you've given us. We thank you for just the opportunity and the freedom that we have together in your house this morning. Just pray that you be with us in the next few minutes as we open your word, that whatever is said and done would be your words, and that they would bring honor and glory to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Like I said, every day that you get up, you have decisions that you have to make. Just this morning, you had the decision, am I going to get out of bed this morning? Am I going to go to church this morning? What am I going to wear this morning? Maybe it was, which road am I going to take to get to church? Which, to someone that's not from this area, that may sound strange because they take the same road every day. But if you live in this area, you realize you know, sometimes I got to change that road because of traffic, because of this, because of that. What am I going to eat for breakfast? Maybe you're sitting here right now and you're thinking, what am I going to eat for lunch? Am I going to sit in the front of the church? Am I going to sit in the back? Am I going to Olympians? Am I going to Chili's? Am I, whichever. You get the idea. We have decisions that we have to make every single day. Some of those decisions, although they may seem important at the time, aren't really that important. Next week, if you were to go up to just any random person in the church, except maybe your spouse or someone that came to church with you, and you were to say, what did I wear to church last week? Probably aren't going to be able to tell you. Honestly, I wasn't here last week. We were out of town. But honestly, if you were to ask me what I wore to church 2 weeks ago, I don't think I could tell you. Those unimportant decisions. Some choices in life, however, last for eternity. The passage we read today speaks about a few different choices that we're faced with. First of all, it's which path? Which path are you going to take? You know, I often talk about driving. I guess because in my own life, it's probably the one thing that I struggle with the most is patience when I'm driving, especially in this area. If you ride with me, although if I have someone riding with me, I'm usually pretty calm. If you were to plant a microphone in my car, though, you would hear some things that aren't very nice. And I confess that to you. It's something I struggle with. And I've lately, in fact, I brought it with me this morning. A friend of mine goes to an Orthodox church, and this is an Orthodox prayer rope. And growing up in a Baptist church, if I had had this in my pocket, in fact, if my grandfather this morning would knew I had that in my pocket, he'd be like, well, son, that's not, you know, that's not kosher, even though he probably wouldn't use the word kosher. Because it's just something that we didn't do. But yet, I found if I'm sitting in traffic and someone's cut me off, it's got little knots on it. And you use each one of those knots and you pray a prayer. And I found that as I'm sitting in traffic, someone cuts me off or whatever the case may be, I found that that puts me into God's presence right away. And that decision to say something that's not so nice or just to get riled up and whatever the case may be changes. The scripture that we read this morning speaks about choosing two different paths, two different roads. Like I said, when you're driving in this area, you might go to the same place every single day, whether it's for work, whatever the case may be, and you might take a different path 5 days of the week just to get there quicker. Scripture we read about this morning speaks about an easy path. I don't know about you, but when I'm preparing to go somewhere, even if I know where I'm going, I type it into a GPS, and the GPS that I use tells me just for that exact moment what the quickest path is. If there's an accident, if there's construction and the road is closed down, it will route you around. And sometimes it's even taking me on roads that I didn't even know existed. Gravel roads and everything else just to get me there quicker. Because I'm always trying to get somewhere quicker because I don't want to spend any more time in the car getting somewhere than I have to. I'm sure many people here probably do the same thing. But what if that quickest route that you picked was on a dangerous road? Would you pick the quickest way even if you knew that there were dangers? I'm sure all of us have heard of that famous road, the Donner Pass. It's on Highway 80 and it drives right through the mountains in a little cut in the mountains in the Sierra Nevada out west. And if you're driving in the summer, there's no problem. It's the easiest way. You cut right through the mountains and it gets you where you're going a whole lot quicker. But if you're driving in the winter, or even the late fall, early spring, it's a completely different story. It's considered one of the snowiest places in the entire country, and it averages almost 412 inches of snow every year. If you had to drive this area in January with a forecast of a blizzard in a two-wheel drive car with no chains, would you take the pass? Or would you drive south and take Route 40, going around the mountains? It adds almost 500 miles to your trip, but would you take that chance to go through that pass, knowing that more than likely you're not going to make it? Seems like a logical choice, I guess. This passage speaks of an easy way. It's wide, it's spacious, it's easy to travel on. You don't have anything holding you back. You don't have any bumps to go over. You don't have any hurdles. It's level road. In fact, you might even say it's slightly downhill, because everyone knows it's easier to walk slightly downhill. But this scripture says that that path leads to destruction. Not only does it tell us about an easy path, it also tells us about a hard path. We're talking so far about choices, and here's the first one of the message. We talked about the easy way. The passage then speaks about the hard way. Now, if we just left it as easy or hard, it would be easy to choose. Of course, you choose the easy path. Of course, we're told, though, that the easy way leads to destruction, as we already mentioned. Think of it as the Donner Pass in the middle of winter with several feet of snow, maybe 500 miles shorter, but it'll most definitely lead to your destruction. Here's a story that's a little bit closer to home because I personally have never driven through the Donner Pass. I moved to this area in the fall of 2011, and one of the first missions, about 2 weeks after I got to Andrews Air Force Base, the office that I was in, we actually, in the Washington, D.C. area, we would go and set up PA systems for any kind of event that was happening that the Air Force was a part of. And even though we were stationed at Andrews, we went all over from the Pentagon to the Air Force Memorial to the National Mall and a lot of times to Bowling Air Force Base. Both me and myself and the guy that was with me for the mission, we're unfamiliar with the area, and so we just punched it into the GPS. Quickest route, here we go. We're in a big box truck, like a U-Haul truck, but it has U.S. Air Force government tags on it. And looking at the different routes that the GPS was giving us, we had one that was quick, and then we had one that was going to take us 20 more minutes to get to where we were going. We're like, we'll just take the quickest route, punch it in there. Didn't take us long to figure out that we had made the wrong choice. The route we chose, although quicker, led us through a rather questionable part of town, because if you're familiar with Bowling Air Force Base, or Joint Base Anacostia Bowling, as it's known now, it's in not the best of areas, and there are some areas around it that are not so great. We're stopped at a stoplight, and like I said, we're in a box truck. We hear some on the back of the truck. Someone was trying to get in the back of our truck. Didn't know what was in it. I don't know. I mean, I didn't know. Anyways, it was locked, but you could hear him banging, prying, whatever, on the back of the truck. Fortunately, that truck also was equipped with emergency lights, so I hit that light and hit that siren and went through that stoplight and straight to Bowling Air Force Base. But we quickly realized that just because that route was shorter, just because it was an easier drive, wasn't the best route to take. And of course, going back, when we were done with that job, didn't take that route again. Picking the wrong route on a trip can result in a delay or some kind of danger along the way. Picking the wrong route in life, as this passage says, leads to destruction. Which route are you going to pick? The easy way leads to destruction, and the hard way, though, leads to life. When planning a trip, you have the routes to pick, but you also have the destination. Not only must we choose a route, but you have to choose a destination as well. This is one of the choices that's probably easiest to make. Out of this whole passage, this is the choice that should be easy. We looked at the two routes, the two destinations. The first one is a place called hell. You know, a lot of people don't like to talk about hell anymore. It doesn't sound nice. That's not a nice place to talk about. When you're talking to people, they don't really want to hear about it. The passage that we read doesn't specifically name any destination, but it does say that the one road, the easy road, will lead to destruction. One particular version of the Bible, the Amplified Version, actually calls it the highway to hell. That's how it translates it. And I think that's probably one of the best ways to put it. Talked about the reality of hell from this pulpit before, and Charlie has as well. And oftentimes, though, we like to talk about heaven. We like to talk about all the beauties and all the things. I don't know that I could tell you and sing you one song about hell, Christian song. There's a whole lot of songs about heaven, though. We like to sing those songs. There are not enough words in the English language to fully describe hell, just as there's not enough to describe heaven. But the Bible does speak about that place more than it does heaven. In Mark chapter 9, it's a fire that can't be quenched. In Luke 16, it's pain and misery that can't be eased. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 describes it as eternal separation and isolation. Let's say you get a call saying that you've won a trip. You get your choice between two options. The first is a week in a budget inn in the middle of the desert. The second is an all-expense-paid trip to a Sandals resort in the Caribbean. Choice seems pretty easy, doesn't it? Seems to me that just as that choice would be easy, the choice that this passage speaks about should also be just as easy. For the second destination, as we've already mentioned briefly, is heaven. Just as the easy way leads to destruction in hell, the hard way leads to life everlasting in heaven. Hell is real, but heaven is just as real. Everything that hell is, heaven is not. The choice we must make is far more serious than choosing between a vacation in a desert and one in the Caribbean. The choice we must make is one between eternal loss in hell or eternal life in heaven. We have to choose which route we're going to take, the easy or the hard, and you have to choose which destination you're going to, whether it's heaven or hell. Lastly, this passage speaks about a passage. When reading about the gates, the narrow gate, the wide gate, in this passage, I was reminded of an old game show. Now, this was a little bit before my time. Although I'm not turning 18 in a week, as Charlie said, a little bit older than that, but there was an old show, which I think they've remade, actually, called Let's Make a Deal. I get a channel called Game Show Network that shows some of those old shows, old game shows. But Let's Make a Deal, and you had the game was entirely based on making choices. Do you want $500 in cash, which I guess in 19 whatever was a lot of money. It still is a lot of it's still, don't get me wrong, it's still a lot of money if someone's just going to give you $500 cash, but in that time that's quite a bit. Or what's behind door number two? You don't know what's behind there. They may show you a little sample, but they aren't going to tell you what's behind there. If the contestant chose door number two, they would either get a pile of garbage or at that time a brand new Datsun. Like to have one of those Datsuns today, one of those two-door Datsun Z. We're given the choice between two doors in this passage. We aren't told... unlike the game show, we're actually told what's behind those doors. It would make that game show a little easier, wouldn't it? Kind of defeat the point. They probably wouldn't have gone as long as they did because no one would want to watch it because they'd be like, well, they already know what's behind the door. What's the point? You got to choose the route, the destination, and the gate. Wide gate, just as the wide, easy path leads to destruction. The narrow gate, just as the narrow, hard path leads to life. It's just like the game show. Sometimes the large, flashy door is actually hiding a pile of garbage. Or in this case, death, destruction, eternal separation from God and everyone and everything that you've ever loved. The small, plain box that's sitting on perhaps something just like this, like they would do on that show. They'd have the little box or the big gate. Of course, most people would say, I want the big gate because that's probably hiding a car. When they lift that box up and there's a $10,000 check. Passage that we read this morning tells us about three choices. Like I said, you might be sitting there today and you might say, well, you know, I'm a good person. I go to church. Been in church all my life. I'm reminded of a good friend of mine that is he's now a prison evangelist, but he started out, he was a pastor younger than I was. He was actually pastoring four churches at one time after he graduated seminary. He was driving a brand new, at that time, Corvette. was back in 1974, so that was making a lot of money, especially for an old preacher boy. He was standing in front of a church one morning, the first of four services that he was going to have to do that Sunday morning. And he said, all of a sudden a feeling came over him unlike anything he'd ever felt before, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And he said, you know what? I realized right then and there that me pastoring these four churches was just a job. I was preaching every single Sunday, every single Wednesday. He said, but I had never really stopped and listened to what I was actually saying, and I was lost. Doesn't matter how good of a person you are, if you haven't made that decision, that fork in the road, the narrow road, the wide road, which one are you walking on this morning? You know, you might say, well, the song I sang this morning, Lord, when I first met you, I thought my troubles were over. You know, you might say, well, I'm doing all right. I'm a good person. Some of the best people that I've ever met in this world were lost. Some of the nicest people, and I'll be honest, some of the cruelest, meanest people were the ones that were Christians. Sad. Whatever your situation, whatever your case is this morning, maybe you have made that decision, and maybe you've gotten off of that path a little bit. Maybe you said, well, you know, this road's getting a little hard. I'm just going to pull into this rest stop. I'm going to pull into this rest stop. I'm going to sit here a little while. How many times have you been on a trip, and you said, I'm just tired. I'm going to take a nap. And you've kind of turned the car off, and you're kind of just sitting there saying, well, you know, got a destination I'm going to, but I'm just going to sit here for a little bit because I'm tired. Life's not going to be easy, folks. I can point you to case after case where God's people were in the middle of storms and trials, but you know what? As the song I sang this morning, he'll carry you through it. As long as you trust in him, if you were walking down the path that he wants you to go, he's going to walk right beside you, holding your hand. And if at times that the road gets too rocky, the mountain gets too steep, he'll pick you up and he'll put you on his shoulders and he will carry you through. You just got to trust in him. This morning, if you haven't made that decision, or maybe you have and you're sidetracked, you're at the rest stop, I don't know, maybe you're just pulled over. Today is the day to say, you know what? No matter how hard that road might be, no matter what the future may hold, because none of us know what tomorrow may hold, I'm going to trust in God, because the destination that he has picked out for me is better than anything that I can ever imagine. And the blessings that come through those trials and those tribulations and the hard times, the faith that grows out of that is better than anything that I could ever imagine. Almighty God, we thank you so much for the time that you've blessed us with. We pray for each and every person that made the choice, made the decision to be here this morning. Lord, whatever the situation might be, if there's one here within the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, whatever the case may be, if they don't know you, I pray that as your word says, today is the day of salvation, Father, because we aren't promised tomorrow. I pray that they would seek you today for salvation and surrender to you. If there's one here today that knows you for salvation, but perhaps they've gotten off the road a little bit, they've gone down the path, they've been on the straight and narrow, but now they're kind of a little bit off and they're just kind of taking a break because things got a little hard. I pray that you would increase our faith, increase our strength, Father, because we know that whatever the situation may be, you will carry us through the trials. You'll carry us through the circumstances that come our way. Lord, we thank you. We pray that you would strengthen us to serve you better. And we pray in Jesus' name.